Good morning. Well, we are happy to give an update about the work in the Middle East. And just a quick recap. We have been overseas now for almost 8 years. And we just finished our second term. And so we're in the States here for a few months. And we're excited to share with you what God is doing. Right now, actually, I'm teaching English in our country, in the Middle East. We're in the Persian Gulf, and so that is our reason for being there. That's how we can stay there, is that I'm teaching English. Our people group is the Gulf Shia, and so that is in the Persian Gulf, and it's all the Shia that live in the Persian Gulf. And you've probably heard of Sunni and Shia. Those are the two major parts of Islam. And so our people group is the Gulf Shia. And in our country, it is majority Shia. And the minority is Sunni, and they are the government. And they rule the majority. So it causes some tension. And anyway, in our country, there are what they call villages of Shia. So they're densely populated communities of close-knit families and relatives and friends, and everybody knows everybody else, and it may be a few thousand people or more in each village. And when you think of a village, maybe you think of a village in Africa or something. It's not exactly that. It's like close-knit neighborhood is basically what it is. And so, anyway, we live in one of those villages, and we've lived there for this whole second term for about 3 years. And we, every day we are trying to get out into the community and rub shoulders with people and share our faith, and that's what we do on a normal basis, is we share who we are. We're not afraid to say that we're Christians, because that's who we are. So what can we do? We're Christians. And we tell people about what we believe. And so we as much as we can, we share the gospel, and we get to the gospel as much and often as we can, and we share who we are. In these villages, they have what they call matams. And in a matam is... A matam is basically a building where all of the people come on a regular basis, several times a month, to... It's like a community center. And so they come to these matams to celebrate or mourn their past prophets or their imams and important people in Shia Islam. And so we have been able to use these matams, these community centers, as a really great way to connect to the people and to our friends there, because that's where everybody goes, and so we go there too. And so the first time that we moved, 3 years ago, we moved to this village, and the first matam that I went to, I was able to get connected right away with kind of the leader of that matam, and he's kind of he is in charge of it. He doesn't do all the speaking, but he's in charge of it. And so he ushered me to the front of the matam, which I was not terribly thrilled about. I was hoping to slip into the back somewhere, but he ushered me to the front, and they were really excited that I was there. And so I've been able to build a relationship with him and with his family, and Jenny has as well. And I've gotten to know him and his sons, and Jenny has gotten to know his wife and his daughters and his sons' wives. And it's been this is just one example of just how God has been faithful to just give us opportunities to share our faith and to share the gospel, which is the whole reason we're there. So yeah, so they have invited us over to their, this family specifically has invited us over to their house a few times. And so when we go, Jenny and I and the kids will all go together, and we go to the front door, and there's one door for the guys and there's one door for the ladies. And I never see her again until we leave. And so she takes the kids with her, which is very nice for me. And I go and sit with the guys. And so I sit with my friend and his sons, and I've become good friends with his sons as well. And we were eating a lunch together on a Friday. Friday is the holy day, is when they go to the mosque. And so that's kind of like a family day. That's when they, after the mosque, they hang out with their families. So I was able to just sit in there after lunch, sit in their sitting room with all the men there, and just able to share the gospel with them. And this is just kind of an example of ways we're able to get into the community and to share with them. And they were interested, and unfortunately nobody made a commitment right then. But they are interested, and they want me to come back, and they continue to want a relationship with me and also the ladies with Jenny. So Jenny's going to talk about something else.
Okay, so when we got to this village and we started going to the matams, that we would sit there, we would go to the matam, we'd go in, and I would have to be fully covered just out of respect for them. And so we would go in and we'd sit down on the floor, and usually they'd bring tea around, things like that. And then everyone's just sitting and listening to, there's a reading and like also a preaching, but they are quiet when it comes to the reading. And there's these little kids. Some of them are running around and some of them are listening, but they're quiet and listening to a reading. So I went to many of these readings, and I would ask them questions, now, who are we talking about? And they would be kind of surprised that I didn't know, because they had spent their whole life, every month, you know, sometimes it would be a few times a month. Sometimes there's a 1 month where there's like 10 full days of every day they're there, and they eat there and everything. And so they have spent their whole life just being ingrained in this, in their traditions, in the lives of these prophets that they're recognizing. And they were shocked, really, that I didn't know about it. And it just dawned on me, like, that's what we want for our kids, is for them to just be so ingrained in the stories in the Bible, just to be so used to sitting and listening. And I just sat there and prayed for these women. And after a time of going, probably some months of going pretty regularly and meeting people, they just really welcomed us in. I felt like the Lord wanted me to host one of these. It's called a molid, or it's a celebration of a birth. So it was natural to have a Christmas molid, a Christmas reading. And so I invited ladies from the village, families, and they were scared to come to my house. They were scared because it was a Westerner, a Christian, and probably had pork in her house. They were scared. But I told them everything was going to be, there wasn't going to be any pork, and I was going to buy the food, not even make it, so they didn't have to worry about that. And they came. There was just like a handful of ladies that came. And they came in, and they painted a little ornament, and it was just their ladies and their daughters. And one of the ladies, her name is Om Hussein. Om means mother, so she's the mother of Hussein. And she came, and she brought four of her six daughters, who are basically my age. Actually, her younger daughters are my age, and her older daughter's a little bit older. And then one daughter-in-law. And then they had their kids. So she brought her, like, clan with her. We call her like a matriarch. She's like the one that leads the family. In fact, her husband has passed away, and she's the matriarch of the family. And so here they came in and painted their ornaments and sat down, and they were like ready for a reading. And I had practiced reading in Arabic so that they would understand it. And so I read the story, the Christmas story in Arabic, and shared why Jesus came. And then for presents, we gave them Bibles. And she was so excited. She opened up her Bible, and she was so excited. This is a Bible in Arabic. She was so excited. And her daughters all got one. But she had two daughters that weren't there and two daughters-in-law. And she wanted them to have one too. So can I take more? Like, of course. We want as many people to have the Bible in their hands as they can. So over time, I just have fallen in love with Umm Hussein. And just a precious lady. And her daughters are really wonderful friends and their kids. And they've just really embraced us. And so over the years, over the last 3 years, we've had a number of readings at our house. And she was faithful to come every time. She said, "You're having another one? I have to be there." She would always come. And she's really kind of spunky and she's willing to break out of the mold and come to these Christian readings. And last Christmas, when Tim's parents were there, she was going to be making a Hajj, or a pilgrimage to Iraq, where it's kind of a Shia battleground, and they pay respect to their imams and stuff like that. I was really kind of sad that she was doing that at all, because I was hoping that the word was really impacting her. But I knew that she would be coming back from her Hajj the night before we would have our reading, and so I didn't expect her to come. I knew she'd be tired, and I just didn't expect her to come. But all these ladies were flooding in, and in walks Umm Hussein. And she has her daughters with her, and I said, "What are you doing here? You just got back." And she said, "I had to come. You were having a reading. I had to come." And so it was just a delight to see her. I had tears in my eyes just that she would make the effort to come after just traveling. And that was, it was an especially special Christmas reading when they were there, because we had prayed for not just one matriarch, but that God would bring more matriarchs, that these matriarchs would lead their families to know Christ and to want to know the truth. And so there were a number of matriarchs there, and our house was overflowing, and it was a little bit overwhelming, but it was really great. And so after that, all of my friends in the village were excited about the next one, which would be Easter. They were looking forward to the Easter reading. And there was so much interest. People were saying, can I bring more family? Can I bring my mother-in-law? And so we just realized that we needed to find a different place to have it. Even some of my friends in the village said, "You need to find a different place to have this reading." And we looked around in the village, and we asked at the Matam, and they wouldn't let us have it there because that's Islamic, and they didn't want a Christian reading happening there. And so we ended up having it in a kind of an empty house with, like, a bigger open space. And through kind of a series of events, the sheikh in the village heard about this reading this last Easter that was happening, and he sent out a message to everybody in the village that said, "Don't go to Jennifer's reading." And I just knew that it was in God's hands. And in some ways, it was like really confirmation that we were doing what we needed to do, is to have these readings. But we didn't know if anyone would show up, anyone. And because he had said, "Don't come," and they really follow their leaders. And so the day of this reading came. We had prepared for a lot of people. There was so much interest. And we were ready, and we just sat there, and we prayed that God would bring people. And I was just kind of nervous, you know, sitting in this empty house and ready to fill it with people to hear the good news. And as I sat there, I heard a carload of women come up, and that they opened the doors and got out, and I was amazed to see Umm Hussein there with her daughters. And this time she had all of her daughters and her daughters-in-law, and even one of her great-granddaughters came. And she wasn't the only one that came. There were 40 people that came that day and heard, and they left with the Bible. And I just know it was the Lord. And even since that reading, people have said, don't stop doing your readings. We love going to them. We love that you do them. And so it'll be interesting to see when we get back what the Lord's going to lead and how to do it. But would you pray that those people, those ladies that took home Bibles, that the truth would take root in their lives, and that those Bibles, that they would open them, and that they would read them, and they would come to faith in Christ. And we know that however it happens, however God chooses to save people, it's a miracle. And so we just recognize that it's God's work, and though we haven't had a lot of fruit from our labor there, we know it's in His hands, and we know it's His work, and we know that it is a miracle that all of those Bibles are in those families' homes now. And I'm just trusting that the Lord is going to draw them to Himself and use His word in a powerful way in their lives. And I just get to be a little part of it. And that's how it should be, because He should get all of the glory.
Yeah, there's with all the mullids, all these readings that Jenny has done, there's probably been about a few hundred Bibles that have gone out into just our village. And just as we finish up, just please pray for God's word to take root in these families' lives, because you don't know where those Bibles are going to be, you know, just sitting on somebody's shelf and, you know, able to have to be available for someone in the family to pick up that might be interested. So pray for God's word to take root in people's hearts. Pray for openness to the gospel as we continue to share, and to just pray for our faithfulness to be out there as much as we can and share the gospel with them. Thank you. And we have some prayer cards, updated prayer cards, at the table in the back. And also, if you'd like to be on our prayer list, we have a sign-up sheet, so you can put your email there. And also, we have a blog. It's on the prayer card that you can be following us. So thank you so much for your support. We really appreciate it. We know that you guys are praying and you're faithful to pray for us, and we do feel it. So thank you so much.